tonight to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 is where we're going to find our text tonight. To any of our handicapped guests, I'd like to apologize officially. And we're happy to have that blue truck towed if we need to. Hope everyone's having a good week so far. I know we've got a lot of folks still out sick and definitely want to keep them lifted up in prayer. And last Wednesday night, we had been studying for a long time a series of messages about growing up, and we finished up 2 Peter chapter 3, finished up the letter there, and so we're going to move on, and tonight's going to be a little bit of a transitional time as we study the Word together tonight. But Romans chapter 15, if you're able, will you stand with me? We're going to read one verse together to get started, and it's Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. The Word of God says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together. We do pray for those who are unable to be here. We pray for healing, for grace, for strength and mercy. Thank you for those who have been able to gather. Thank you for the time that we can pray together, that we can lift up our voices in song to you, God. And thank you for the time of the preaching of the word. And I pray tonight that you would give all of us a better appreciation for your word, for the Holy Scriptures that were given for our learning. I pray, Lord, that we could go from here tonight, having grown in patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope in this world that is filled with hopelessness, that we might have the light of Christ shining brighter in us as we go into this world filled with darkness. I just pray that you'll help us to be genuine followers of Jesus. And if anyone here or hearing this message has never been born again, Lord, please help them to hear and believe the gospel tonight. I pray that tonight would be the night that they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in Christ and his death and resurrection and call on your name and be saved. For those who are saved, that they would follow you immediately in baptism and live their lives for the one who died for them and rose again. Help all of us to do that, Father, to be real disciples, continuing in your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, we're going to talk about the verses surrounding this at the very end of the letter to the Roman believers. But like I said, I want this tonight to be a little bit of a transition. We are spending a lot of time in the New Testament on Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're spending a lot of time in Acts. We're fixing to jump into 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. So a lot of time in the New Testament. And I want you to understand that not only is the New Testament the Word of God invaluable, but the entire Scriptures are the Word of God, and they are profitable for us. And so on Wednesday nights and moving forward, we're going to spend a little more time looking to the Old Testament Scriptures and gleaning some truths from there, because we need it all. We need it all to learn of Christ. Now, here, as we see an example of the value of the sacred Scriptures, I just want to give you the context around it, because I think it's awesome. So many times we know some things to be true from the Bible. We know some things to be true from what we've learned. But a lot of times we don't really realize just how foundational the Old Testament Scriptures are to what we believe and what we know to be true. And so just look at this. Back at verse 1. He says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." In other words, if you are strong spiritually, you ought to help somebody who is weak spiritually. If you are strong physically, you ought to help people who are weak physically. Amen. Everybody with me? In any way that you are stronger and are better positioned to help somebody who may not be as strong, you ought to help those and not to please yourself. In other words, we ought not be living for ourselves, but for others. And we all know that to be true, right? I mean, that's just That's like Christian 101. That's doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. We all know that to be true, but foundationally, where does that even come from? Look at this. Verse 2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. What's that mean? Do good to your neighbor. We kind of, the way it's worded, we get a little mixed up. Please your neighbor, like I'm not here to live for the pleasure of everybody else. No, but we are to do good to others, to help them, to bring them joy and happiness. That's pleasing them, to help them for their edification. So we are to bear one another and to build up one another. And verse 3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Amen. The reproaches of them that reproach me fell on thee. And what's he telling us? He's telling us that the scriptures, the word of God, Psalm 69:9 says, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. So what do we see? We understand you ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Edify one another. Build one another up. So we're bearing up one another. We're building up one another. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Amen. And why is that what Jesus did? Well, it's what he said he would do. Amen. Way back in Psalm 69. You see, we know some of these things to be true. It almost seems just intuitive to us, but the reality is it's not intuitive. It's not just the way it is. It is what was written. Amen. It's what Christ did, so it's what we ought to do, and it's what he did because it's what he said he would do. It's his word. Bear one another. Build up one another. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Why? Because Christ took our reproaches. Because Jesus took our reproaches. Because he took the guilt and shame that is ours. He took it on himself. Therefore, we ought to bear one another's burdens. And I want you to stop and think about this for a second. You guys recognize Psalm 69:9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You remember that the apostles remember that. The disciples remember that. When Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, they remember this verse. And now we have it here again, the apostle Paul pointing back to that same verse. And he says, the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. In other words, listen, there were people who hated Jesus. There were people who reviled Jesus. There were people who were against Jesus, and those reproaches were on him. Amen. He took that burden on himself, and because he did, we ought to bear one another's burdens. I mentioned Galatians 6, verse 2, but Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, or excuse me, 1 through 3, says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I love those scriptures, and we need to always be reminded of them. I know I've told you so many times, be careful when you're looking down at somebody in the pit, because it's real easy to fall into the same pit. Amen. And how many times have you seen it, man? You hear about something that somebody did or said, and people just blow up. I can't believe anybody would do something like that. And you just wait. Just wait. If they haven't guarded their heart, they'll be doing the same thing that they were so appalled that anybody would do. Amen. Listen, here's the reality. And you need to get this. There is no level of depravity that you and I are not capable of doing. Amen. Now, you may think, I would never. Better be careful. Amen. Better be careful. It's only by the grace of God. Amen. It's only by the grace of God that we haven't done all manner of wickedness. Amen. So bear one another's burdens, and we do that out of the scriptures. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Do you get it? Bear one another's burdens. Build one another up. Why? Because the scriptures said that's what Jesus would do, and that's what he did. Do you see how it all flows together? these things are so, this is what you ought to do because the scripture said so, because they were written for our learning so that we could have patience and comfort from the scriptures, so that we look into the word of God. It gives us the ability to endure. We look into the word of God and it gives us comfort for our souls. We look into the word of God, and by that patience and comfort the scripture gives, we have hope. Amen. And we're not defeated. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of times I want to be defeated. I look into the world and what's happening, and I feel defeated, and I look at things that happen, and it seems like every day there's another phone call, there's another text message, there's another post on social media, there's another news story, and it just kind of beats you down and down and down, and you say, I just don't have any hope. But then I look into the scriptures.
Amen.
And it gives me the will to go on, to keep moving forward. That's patience. Cheerful endurance, and it gives me comfort for my soul, because when I look in the scriptures, I see what it says about Jesus, and I see that Jesus fulfilled all of those things as it was written, and I know that he'll fulfill all the rest of his promises.
Amen.
Till we see him face to face. This bearing one another's burdens and building one another up, it's out of the scriptures that we do that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. We need to learn from the scriptures. We need to have hope through the patient and comfort of the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
Man, there's some popular movements in quote-unquote Christianity the last several years that have tried to do away with the Old Testament. That Christians need to unhitch themselves from the Old Testament. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Amen. Right.
Nothing could be further from the truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable for doctrine,
Amen.
Reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture can help you to know what is right. It'll help you know what's not right. It'll help you know how to get right. And it'll help you know how to stay right.
Amen.
That's the whole Bible. Well, Bible, and listen, I know sometimes you read your Bible, especially some of you start over a new Bible reading plan every year, and you start out really good, and you're excited. You're in Genesis, and it's going along cool, and then you get further in Genesis, and there's some really crazy stories, right?
Amen.
And you're going along, and it's all really interesting and intriguing, and then you get to Numbers, right? And you're like, oh, man. Does it matter? Are those things valuable?
Amen.
They absolutely are.
Amen.
It may be hard to see. They're not always as obvious as John 3:16. But every word in Scripture is there for a reason.
Amen.
And if you look at it and you go, I don't really know why that's there, that's a good reason to study deeper.
Amen.
To not just go, well, that's pointless. No, it's... I promise, the Holy Spirit of God inspired the people who wrote it. He's preserved it for thousands of years. I promise it matters.
Amen.
It matters. It's all out of the scriptures. So all the things were written aforetime were written for our learning so that we could have hope through the patience and comfort of the scripture. And he continues. Now, verse 5 says, back in our text, Romans 15:5. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer today, this afternoon, for our service tonight, that with one mind and one mouth we would glorify God. With one mind and one mouth, we would glorify our Savior. The God of patience and consolation grant you. We need God's grace to be like-minded. Again, notice he's telling us to bear one another and to build up one another, edification. Now he's telling us to to have one mind toward one another, be like-minded according to Christ, that with one mind, one mouth, we would glorify the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to have unity. So it's out of the scriptures that we bear one another's burdens. It's out of the scriptures that we build one another up. And it's also out of the scriptures that we become like-minded.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How in the world are we going to get the mind of Christ? We're going to get the mind of Christ through the word of Christ.
Amen.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's his word. I had a brother text me this week and ask about a passage of scripture you're probably familiar with. You guys remember the woman who was caught in adultery? You guys remember that? This means yes.
Amen.
This means no.
Amen.
Woman caught in adultery. And you'll remember that they brought the woman, threw down in front of Jesus, and he kind of ignores them. And they say, Moses said that she ought to be stoned because she was caught in adultery. What do you say? And he just kind of ignores them for a while. You remember he stands up and he finally says, whoever is without sin, let him first cast a stone. And the question that was asked is, was Jesus basically kind of disapproving of the death penalty? And I think that's a great question because the law does say that. But if we study it out a little bit, we're going to find a couple of things. One, in the law, both people were supposed to be persecuted or prosecuted, the man and the woman. The law said, where was the guy? Like, they're so worried about the law, where was the fella at? And if they said she was caught in the very act, then guess what? He was there too. Right? If they were able to catch her, they were able to catch him. So where was he at? There were other things about it, but my answer to the question was this: was Jesus trying to disapprove of the death penalty? And my answer was this: no, he wrote the law.
Amen.
Jesus is not going to disapprove of his own law. He gave the law. He's the one that created life. He's the one that determines the value of life. There's a whole reason that the value of man's life, if you shed man's blood by man, shall your blood be shed, because we are made in the image of God. So he wrote the law. It's his law. It's his. It's his. So how are we going to have the mind of Christ if we don't know the word of Christ? But the more we know the word of Christ, the more we can be like-minded. Here's what I think. I think there's a lot of division in Christianity.
Amen.
You think that's true? Now, some of you think that's a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. One of the kids was studying this morning in at school at home about the Coptic Christians, and some of you might have read about the Coptic Christians in Egypt not that long ago. Many of them were being slaughtered by the Muslims there. Some of you might remember that. No? Okay, you can Google it. There's news stories from just a year or two ago. The Coptic Christians claim to be some of the oldest group of Christians in existence. They trace their lineage back to, like, first century. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But my point is this. They are a completely separate group of Christians, separate from other groups. And we have a lot of division in Christianity, don't we? Can I just say this? I think that division doesn't come from the Word of God. I think that division comes from the opinions of man.
Amen.
Like, whatever divisions we have, and you can say, well, they all matter because we're standing on the truth and those other people aren't standing on the truth. We can say that all that we want to. At the end of the day, our division doesn't come from Christ. In Christ, we're united.
Amen.
And so what I'm trying to say is, if we're going to be like-minded one toward another, the way that we do that is by looking more into the scriptures. Out of the scriptures, we'll have a like-mindedness. It's not about just trying to go along to get along or trying to think like you think or you think like I think or any. No, it's like all of us just need to be in the Word more. And the more we're in the Word, the more we're going to be like-minded. It's just going to happen. Isn't that great? And I love it. I'm going to tell you this. I love it just talking to other Christians. And I have Christian friends all over the country, a couple around the world. And I love talking to my brothers in Christ, because especially the ones who are in the Word, because immediately we have a connection in the Word. I love talking to a brother who says, I was just reading in my Bible here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, that's exactly. Yeah, I was looking at this. And it's the same thing. We're studying two different places, but God's Word is the same.
Amen.
Be like-minded one to another. So all of these one another's, and there's dozens of them throughout the New Testament, the one another's are based on the scriptures. Verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another the way that Christ received you. How did Jesus receive you? Based on your own merits, based on how good you are, based on how you look or how you act or how you smell? No. How did Christ receive you? With grace and mercy. And that's how we ought to receive each other. I had a brother tell me just this week, talking about God's grace, and he said, I don't deserve God's grace. That's the thing about grace. None of us deserve it.
Amen.
That's why it's grace.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for God's grace.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the grace of my brothers and sisters. You know, some of the people in this church I've known for a long time. Some of you have known me most of my life.
Amen.
And you still love me anyway.
Amen.
That's saying something. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I see you back there. I'm thankful for our church family and the love and mercy and grace that has been extended to me and that I see extended to each other. That's the way it ought to be. I get so sick of that idea that church, that when we come here, we got to pretend like we're all perfect. Listen, most of us know each other well enough to know that's just not true. Receive one another as Christ has received us. And check this out, boys and girls. That's to the glory of God.
Amen.
When we extend grace and mercy to others, God is glorified in that. All right, verse 8. Verses 8 through 12 just tells us that Christ confirmed the promises. Again, this is going back to point to the scriptures. Those things were written aforetime for our learning. So look at verse 8. Now I say that Christ Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So here it is, Jesus. This is not about the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. It's about faith, and Jesus confirmed those promises in what he did. So it was written before, and Jesus did it. Look at it, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. That's from 2 Samuel 22:50. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praise unto thy name. Again in Psalm 18:49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. And Jesus fulfilled those promises. Verse 10, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Ye nations, that's the Gentiles. And he's saying you can be part of his people and you will be part of his people through Christ. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Psalm 117, verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. And he's to be praised by all people of all nations, and he is through Christ. Verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
Amen.
Do you just get this? Hundreds of years before Christ was born, the Spirit of God was moving the pen of these prophets.
Amen.
And these poets and these kings, and they were writing things down, mysteries that they didn't even fully understand, but the Spirit of God was giving them that truth. And hundreds of years later, Christ was born and lived and fulfilled everything that was written of his life.
Amen.
And of his death, and of his resurrection, and of his ascension, and everything that has been written of him will be fulfilled in its time. He confirmed the promises. So what can we do? You might remember this from last year, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May God fill you with joy and peace in believing. Now, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but for all of you note takers, let me give you a couple of passages of scripture that you might want to look at. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Now, most of you are probably familiar with verse 13 there. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Remember that one? But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you and I, we don't get to say, I couldn't help myself, the devil made me do it, or any other excuse. Whatever temptation comes your way, God will make a way to escape. There's a big exit sign always there you can take. Right? But the verses leading up to it, just go study it. And what it's going to tell you is, all the things that are recorded for us in the Old Testament, the things that happened, they were there so that we could learn. They were in examples for us to learn from so that we can live for Jesus today.
Amen.
The other passage is Romans 2, verses 1 through 4. Romans 2, verses 1 through 4. And it's just to say this. We're in no position to judge anybody else. He says, let me give you verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. I think being judgmental is one of the easiest things for us to do. But Christ calls us to receive one another as he received us.
Amen.
I don't deserve to be received by Christ. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his mercy. I certainly don't deserve a place in his kingdom. But to the glory of God, he has received me.
Amen.
Through the death of his son, Jesus.
Amen.
And you and I can have these one another's. We can bear one another. We can build up one another. We can be like-minded one to another. We can receive one another. And all of that flows out of the scriptures that were written aforetime for our learning. And I pray that God will give us a heart, not just for a few verses here and there, but for the whole counsel of God, that we would have a desire to know and understand the scriptures and see how it all ties together. Because, brothers and sisters, it's beautiful when you see it all tie together. And it's an amazing thing when you start seeing these things, you start reading here and you go, oh, that's quoting that. And you go back to there and you look at that and you read not just one verse like I did tonight, but you start reading all around it. You go, oh, well, that ties back up to that. And that ties back to this. And it all fits together. Why? Because it's all written by the same author. It's God's word.
Amen.
And it's beautiful. And may God give us a heart, a desire for his word. Tonight I'm going to ask our musicians to come and we're going to have a time of invitation. Will you stand with me? These things were written aforetime were written for our learning. I pray that God's helped you to learn something from his word tonight and at least give you what your appetite for more. And in these next several Wednesday nights, we're going to start looking back to the Old Testament for some great truths to help us live our life today in Christ, because it's all his word. If he's convicting your heart about anything, a decision that you need to make tonight, anything that you need to bring to Christ, if he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.